It's 6 minutes after 10. Welcome to Let's Hear It on WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. It was many summers ago now, but I have a vivid memory of walking onto the green lawn of the Bell's Eccentric Cafe beer garden and not knowing what to expect. There was not one but two bands combined to try something they'd never tried before. And that was to perform the classic album Abbey Road by the Beatles in full, start to finish, no pause, exactly as you'd hear it on record. They pulled it off to such an extent, to heights I couldn't have imagined, that it's pulled them all back together again to repeat at Bell's Eccentric Cafe in the Beer Garden this Saturday. Doors will open at 7, music at 8 o'clock, and here in the studio, I have Mike First, a member of both Red Sea Pedestrians and the Cornfed Girls, and I have Ian Gorman here, who is a founding member of Red Sea Pedestrians. I'm going to start with you, Ian. Abbey Road is such a significant album, and I understand this is a pretty significant year for this album.
It is indeed. It's the 50th anniversary this summer of Abbey Road, and
this summer. So it was released in the summertime?
Well, the fall, technically. Okay. It was released in September of 1969. But yeah, coming up on the 50th anniversary.
Can you tell us a little story about where this lands in their history, what the band was attempting to do?
Sure. Well, the Beatles had started to kind of fray and go their separate ways creatively a little bit towards the end of their career. And quite famously, the recording sessions for what became the Let It Be album sort of disintegrated, and they kind of shelved that. They were experimenting with a different producer and different sound engineer and weren't quite happy with what they were getting. And then they decided to basically go back to Abbey Road and create what is hard to see as anything but intentionally kind of a final masterpiece for the band, with the whole original team, including, of course, all four band members, as well as the production team of producer George Martin and engineer Jeff Emmerich. And they came together at Abbey Road and laid down a collection of 17 different tunes that really, really range throughout all the different styles the Beatles were famous for, showcased all of the different band members in different ways, and really kind of put this beautiful finale on an incredibly influential career.
So Ian Gorman, you are the owner of a recording studio, La Luna Recording Studio. I am just wondering how many ways you experience this album. I mean, as a fan, as an engineer, as a player, and by now hundreds and hundreds of hours spent listening and analyzing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's that like for you?
Well, the main thing are the songs and the performances. And the songs are unbelievably powerful to me, and the performances are just magical. But on top of that, you know, the thing that the Beatles really helped helped make famous is creating works of art in the recording studio that were separate from the confines of a realistic live performance, and really treating the recording studio as its own art form, both in the way of composing things that couldn't be produced live, as well as arranging songs in ways that relied on the abilities of the studio to layer things and have arrangements change dramatically from section to section and that sort of thing. And so, in addition to just being a very moving piece of music, it's also an incredible statement of the technology and creativity of the recording studio. So for a lot of us that love that playground, it's incredibly inspirational stuff.
What are some of the themes, philosophical themes, that they use, that they're thinking about?
Love. The Beatles love. And it's all over on that record. Love, heartbreak, and of course, a healthy dose of John Lennon's sort of surreal kind of word salad creations as well. So a little bit of a mental psychedelia thrown in.
Mike First, feel free to jump in with any response to what Ian has been saying.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I completely agree. I think that the marriage on that album between the technical capabilities of what a creative team can do in the studio combined with just the amazing songwriting. You know, there's really very, very few recordings that I think stand up to that. Even inside of the Beatles' collected works on their own, you know, of course, Sgt. Pepper's is always lauded as this groundbreaking album because when that was recorded several years earlier, it was recorded on a four-track. So my imagination is, and I don't know this, you know, Ian could probably correct me, but Abbey Road probably had a little bit more capabilities as far as what they had access to during recording. And as much as Sgt. Pepper's is a fantastic album, again, it feels like each song is kind of its own little thing, has its own little flavor, and it flows very well. But Abbey Road, just from start to finish, just has a feel to it. And it's like it really is one of those albums that you can put it on from the beginning and listen to it. You want to listen to the whole thing. Like, you don't want to stop listening to it halfway through. No, I'll pick that up later. Like, you want to hear that next song. It's almost like a good book that you can't put down. Like, that next song is that next chapter, and you just got to find out what happens next. Sarah and I have listened to this album again in the process of studying for this project literally hundreds of times. And so you'd have to ask our children how much they have been exposed to this record. And, you know, they're probably going to roll their eyes, oh, again. But I cannot get tired of this recording. I just, every time I put it on, there's moments that, like, the tears get jerked every time. And then there's moments where I'm singing along at the top of my lungs and, you know, pumping my fist. It's just, I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's a personal thing, but I don't know. That recording is just special. It really is.
Two bands will perform Abbey Road this Saturday at Bell's Eccentric Cafe. They are the Corn Fed Girls and Red Sea Pedestrians. Many of the members have been close friends for a long time now. Both of these bands are just outstanding bands that we're just lucky to have in Kalamazoo. They do such original, excellent work. Mike, I have to ask you, though, how did this logistically work out? I know that you're friends, but it's a lot to take on to put an album like this together.
Sure, and you know, that's something that, again, if you love it, and you're that invested in it, then it's the challenges become just kind of part of the game, and it's not really, you know, nobody was arguing. It was, I'm going to credit Jay Gavin, again, another founding member of Red Sea, who plays with the Corn Fed now, and Birdseed Salesman, does his own thing. He's a great musician. I think Jay was the one that kind of came to the group and said, hey, you guys, I've kind of looked at the instrumentation on this recording, and between all of us band nerds, between Red Sea and Corn Fed, we can cover this. Would you guys want to do this? And so it was just very much just kind of like, hey, it'd be fun. So at that point, we all agreed, jumped on board. And the way that Red Sea does the music instrument swap thing all through the set, and Corn Fed does to some degree, we decided, let's give everybody a chance to sing a lead. And hey, we've got six bass players between the two bands. We got nine guitar players if we kind of, you know, count in a funny way.
So you needed a horn section too, right?
Well, again, there's people that have horn skills in the band that, you know, you're not going to play French horn in the Corn Fed Girls, but if you did it in high school and you can dust it off a little bit, why not? So all of our kind of ancillary instruments that we all have access to and can play added up to being able to complete this recording. For the most part, there was some synth parts, so maybe we don't have the exact tone that they used in the studio, but we are going to cover that with Corey's violin. Hey, we're going to interpret that particular melody line with a slightly different instrumentation, which I think kind of, you know, helps us to kind of bleed our own little thing into it while still being honest and paying tribute to the original recordings. So it started out as just a project for fun. We figured out that we could do it. There was a little bit of a democratic process in deciding who gets to sing this one and who gets to sing that one. And we've had a couple of musician member changes over the years and have, hey, we got to work this new person in. Well, you're going to take that part and this part. And there was a little bit of restructuring along the way. But for the most part, the parts that we're performing now are the parts we learned in the beginning.
It's an interesting question to any listener. What song would you want to sing from Abbey Road? Because some really speak to you. You're at that moment in life where that song is it.
Me personally?
Well, I mean, any listener should be asking themselves right now,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
What would you choose? So, well, there were volunteers.
Yeah. The song I wanted to sing was Golden Slumbers, because that's the one that just rings true to me. Rachel snagged it, and she kills it. You know, I'm not going to step. I was like, I want to sing that one because, you know, I'm not going to sing it as good as she can. So that was, you know, but that was the song I kind of wanted to sing, you know, and but
you ended up with a pretty good one, though.
I did end up with a fun one. I get to sing She's So Heavy, so that's a fun rocker. And so, no, it's just an amazing experience, you know, and it never gets old. I've had people come up and tell me, I would come see that show 100 times.
It's Saturday. 8 o'clock is when music starts. Doors will open at 7. And tickets are available already. Mm-hmm. You can visit the general store right there on Kalamazoo Ave and hint to the savvy, avoid the service fee. You'll end up seeing if you order online. But you can do that, too. That's easy at bellsbeer.com. So that's where to get tickets. And may I put you two on the spot and have you go through the roster? You mentioned Jay Gavin. And you mentioned Rachel Gorman, who, of course, is your wonderful spouse. Mm-hmm. She plays...
Well, she's a multi-instrumentalist. She's most known for her clarinet playing and her singing, but she also plays a bit of keys in our production of Abbey Road, and you know, really.
She did some saxophone when we did Sgt. Pepper's.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
And I know she doesn't really prefer the saxophone, so I don't know if we have to talk her back into it. But.
Yep. We're lucky to have a wealth of multi-instrumentalists within this collective of musicians, and so we're able to kind of mix and match people to not just play to their strengths and put people into roles that really suit them musically, but also make sure that it's kind of ever changing and fun for everybody. And it keeps everybody on their toes. We all have some tunes that are kind of, you know, on our main instruments that are comfortable and other ones that we got to kind of really be aware of because we're really pushing ourselves. And that's sort of a fun combination for us.
So back to the all the names on the roster, if you keep going with...
Yeah, so Corn Fed Girls is myself, Mike First, my wife Sarah First. She plays a little bit of bass and does a lot of singing and plays some French horn and a little bit of percussion. And then John Campos plays a little bit of guitar, mostly mandolin, sings lead on Octopus's Garden, does some violin in the orchestral sections. And Phil Berry is kind of our anchor. We've just left him on lead guitar, so he pretty much plays guitar the whole time. But, you know, he's an amazing guitar player, so it's a no-brainer. And then he takes a lead on Here Comes the Sun. Mm-hmm. Jay goes from bass to keyboards to guitars and then sings lead on Maxwell's Silver Hammer, where Ian is actually playing the Silver Hammer. So jumping over to Red Sea, we've got Ian on Silver Hammer and bass and guitar and keyboards and sings lead on Her Majesty. And then Rachel, of course, as we mentioned, plays clarinet, plays keys, little percussion, a lot of vocals. She sings lead on Golden Slumbers and Mean Mr. Mustard. And then Corey, of course, plays violin and little percussion. And she sings lead on Polythene Pam, Corey Summers from Red Sea Pedestrians. And then Bill Caskey from the Red Sea Pedestrians plays a little bit of guitar, a little bit of keys. He sings lead, drawing a blank, but he sings lead on something. And then, of course, I forgot Darcy Wilkin from the Corn Fed Girls, who also plays a lot of guitar, a little bit of percussion, and a lot of vocals. And then our other anchor person who doesn't switch during the show is Ben Lau, who's a fantastic drummer for Red Sea Pedestrians. So he's holding down the bottom end there. So Phil and Ben are kind of the anchor pieces and, you know, get stuck on their one instrument and the rest of us get to jump around and have fun and point fingers and have fun. So.
And what are you playing, Mike? Did you?
I play bass and a little bit of violin and I play a little bit of cello and I do some vocals. And then... in the past, we've done these performances. We actually ran them at the State Theater several years back. And at that opportunity, we wanted to really kind of flesh things out. So we hired some extra musicians. Sgt. Pepper's was one of the other albums we did. And, of course, that has a lot of other instrumentation, which kind of forced this, hey, we got to hire some extra folks to help us kind of cover some of the bases. But Abbey Road is very much a rock album with kind of horns and strings peppered in. Mm-hmm. So we pretty much have everything covered, except... for the trumpet. We do have one guest musician that we've hired for this summer's run, and his name is Mike Duffy. He's actually the librarian up here at Western. Works in the music library here. Fantastic trumpet player. There's a couple pieces that just without that voice, without that tone, you just, no matter what you do with covering it with another instrument, it doesn't sound the same. It doesn't have that same punch. So we are hiring one extra musician, and Mike Duffy's helping to fill out the top end of that orchestral voice.
I'd also like to include Brian Heaney in this list. He's not officially a band member, but he's been running sound for a lot of the productions of this. As you might imagine, running sound for any Beatles project is a mighty task, let alone dealing with 12 crazy musicians. So he's definitely an important part of the team as well.
I'm with Ian Gorman from Red Sea Pedestrians and Mike First from Corn-Fed Girls and Red Sea. And we're talking about this Saturday's performance of Abbey Road, music at 8 o'clock at Bell's Eccentric Cafe. The album, as you mentioned, takes about 1 hour to perform. So you will be filling out with more music beyond that.
Yeah, Corn-Fed Girls will start the night out with a 45 to an hour of original Corn-Fed tunes. And then Red Sea will take over and play some original Red Sea Pedestrians tunes. Of course, we will have some merchandise available as well. And then we'll take the stage and perform Abbey Road.
Now, have you, either of you, studied the dimensions of the stage at Bell's Beer Garden? Like, do you know how many square feet are available for the 11 of you?
So as a matter of fact, I actually have a diagram of the stage. When we first put this thing on, because we have a limited amount of stage size and there's at some points 11 to 17 people, we literally had to choreograph the movements between songs because you've got to play bass, you've got to play guitar, you've got to switch to vocals. And so, wait a minute, should I step in front of you or behind you? Because we want to make sure that the visual presentation looks pro. And when we're bumping into each other and stepping on each other's toes, it doesn't look pro. So we literally measured out the stage, and then we had a practice space where we taped the floor out and then arranged it so that we could do almost a dress rehearsal, if you will, to figure out, okay, you got to step behind, just wait a second, let these three people in front, now you can go up to that instrument station. And so that was very much the case. That said, I'm not sure if you knew, but Bell's this summer has renovated their beer garden, and so the stage is a little bit larger and a little bit different for us. And so I don't think we'll have too much problem fitting up there, but it's an interesting question. And that's absolutely something that we, as much as the music, we had to kind of figure out how are we going to do this and make it feel like we're not just in the practice room. You know, so we were very, very conscious of that as well. We also chose to not talk during the performance. And that was a conscious decision because, you know, in between these two classic songs, do you really want to hear me say, hey, folks, how you doing? Having a good time? Come on. Next song is blah, blah. You know, no, let's just play the album. Let the song speak for themselves. We don't need to chatter in between.
I think that was a great choice. The album builds power as it goes on. Because of the short silent breaks, your sense of anticipation builds. For my case, I'm trying to remember what the next song is. I almost know.
and we feel like, you know, again, the band nerds in us felt like, well, maybe us switching instruments might be interesting. Because, you know, when you're at a theater and you're seeing the scenes change and whatnot, you can kind of see in the dark, you know, the stagehands in their black clothes. You can kind of make, I love that stuff.
That's cool.
So to give the audience a chance to kind of see what it takes to go from this song to that song, we kind of felt that might be interesting, you know, just that technical side of it. And then we get ready and count it off and we're all back in the stratosphere. So
it must be different from your typical stage show where you do talk between songs and take a little break and a breather. But from here, from the moment you start, you're on a ride too. You're not allowed to.
Right. And you kind of have to bite your tongue. Like, wait, don't say anything because you're right. Your habit is to fill that dead space and keep the kind of the chatter going over the microphone so the folks in the audience kind of have something going. And it's just, it's a little weird having spent 20, 30 some odd years doing that and then not. So it's a little weird, but I think it adds to the show. I really think it does, as opposed to taking anything away.
Well, is there anything else you can tell me to preview Saturday's concert? This is your one chance to see it in Kalamazoo now, and it brings two great bands together. other things that might compel people to be there?
Well, for me, part of the experience of doing these shows that I love isn't just what we're doing musically, but it's the entire experience with the crowd. And we're getting to play this album that we love so dearly for hundreds and hundreds of people that also love it dearly. And just the energy that that creates and kind of the moment of this community of people all really paying homage to this music is just this beautiful experience that I personally can't get enough of. And I've heard from people that have come to the shows what a powerful thing it is for them to be in the crowd and have that kind of kinship with each other, you know, just soaking into this music that they love so much.
And on top of that, you know, it is 21 and up, but the music is available to anybody. I mean, it's just one of those albums that young people, old people, folks in between, everybody, anybody can find something to like about this recording and this performance. And I agree, the first time we did it back when you saw us back in, I think it might have been 2011, we weren't sure how it was going to go. We figured between our two bands, we might have, you know, a couple hundred people that'll show up and kind of support. And like over 800 people showed up. And it was kind of one of those late summer, sweltery kind of, you know, evenings. It was just a little hot, a little humid, but just, man, it was magic. I couldn't believe how much people were so enthusiastic about it. And again, from that moment, I've had people tell me, I would go see that show again and again and again. Just the same way I've listened to that album again and again and again.
Well, Mike First and Ian Gorman, thanks for previewing the show. It's at Bell's. Maybe, Ian, you sum it up for us again, time and place.
It is this Saturday, August 10th at Bell's. Doors at 7, music starts at 8.
And bellsbeer.com is where you can find tickets online, or go to the general store and buy them in person and avoid the service fee. Great to talk to you both.
Thanks, Kara.